Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You knew I couldn't speak before I got to the hook on this classic funk R&B banger. Let's groove. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Guess who's back on the air again in D.C.? First time in almost 3 years plus, it looks like now. Almost 3 years. I think I was last on in January of 2022. For those that don't know, hello, my name is Steve Zabin, a.k.a. Zabe, or The Zabe. And I am just happy and very thankful that Chris Kynard had use for me for a couple hours on a Saturday. I had found myself suddenly, shockingly unemployed after a radio station I was working for in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, just said, you know what, we're just going to play music now. What? That's tough. We were doing sports. We were the Packers flagship. What happened? We're music now. Okay, well, good luck, and thanks for all the cheese curds. But anyway, I'm here just happy to get some weekend bullpen innings and happy to do that for the time being. And who knows where this will go. And I appreciate everybody calling in today saying, welcome, Max. Good to hear your voice. How's everything going? I thought you died. Thought you moved. Thought you were living up in Sheboygan or something like that. No, I was commuting back and forth, and I did have an apartment there, and football season was mostly up there for Packer season. Had a great time doing what I did. It was very interesting. You know, sports radio is so different. State to state, market to market, city to city. And many people didn't quite understand what I had chosen to do, given that I had been on here in D.C. for so long, 16 years with Andy Pollin, a couple years after that, once Andy was let go and was doing a show with Solly here under the Odyssey banner briefly as my contract was coming to a close. And I'd done national stuff for pretty much every network at some point. Started at ESPN Radio back in the fall of 99. Did that for a span, then decided I wanted to come back home because I'm from the mean streets of McLean, as I jokingly call them.
So rough, that area.
Oh, yeah. As I like to say, Metal Chris, behind the board, I saw hardship growing up. There were some houses in neighborhoods, not the one I lived in, but in neighborhoods not far from where I was, that only had carports. In other words, not even enclosed garages, just an open air shield for one's vehicle. And I said, my God, I have it so lucky. I'm so privileged. I'm not living in a house with a carport. That's the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. But yes, my dad, now passed, Super Sky Point to Pops, worked for the Department of Agriculture for many years as a computer systems analyst. My mom was a school teacher. She's still with us. Super, not Sky Point, but point out to you and Ashburn, Mom. Love you, Mom. But yeah, they bought their house in 1972 in McLean for $66,500. And as my dad said it at the time, my mom's father, my grandfather, Nick O'Neill, thought he had gone plumb crazy paying that much money. Of course, when they recently moved out of it a couple years ago, it fetched a seven-figure sum. But I live way out in Loudoun County on a stupid fall day, like on a fall day just like this one, about, 2008, how many years ago was that? Do the math on that, 12, 17 years? 17 years ago, I took a fall drive out to Western Loudoun County. I think I was playing golf somewhere, and I took a side road back. I saw a development of houses that were on 10-acre lots. I'm like, okay, this would be cool to have. Like, I'll just mow the grass, and I'll, like, put a tee box up there. I got a mowing driving range. So we moved out there from Sterling, my wife and I, with our daughters in 2008, and I've stayed there ever since, even though I was doing this gig in Wisconsin. But I have kept up. Trust me. I have watched step by step with all the things that have happened since I really started focusing on this other opportunities. And like I said, I've got a lot of catching up on opinions. People are like, they want to know where I stand on certain things. First of all, the biggest one is the name Commanders and the logo and the new uniforms. Before I get to where I stand on the name and the logos and the uniform, let me just say that I thought the unveiling of it was one of Dan Snyder's last grossly incompetent, embarrassing acts as owner. It was truly tragic and embarrassing. If that man is capable of embarrassment, and I'm not sure that he is, the way it was leaked well ahead of time. The name itself does not inspire anybody, at least from the people I talk to. And the way it was so shoddily rolled out on the Today Show at FedEx Field, I'm just like, another clueless execution by an owner who just was a menace, who killed the name. I don't know if the name would have survived or not, and you know, the politically correct troubled waters that teams have had to navigate through. I mean, the Braves are no longer, but the Chiefs are. The Florida State Seminoles still are. Now, they got an arrangement, obviously, with their Seminole tribe, and there's an agreement there and everything else. I don't know if the name would have survived, but Snyder helped kill it because he double-crossed his own partners. He cheated his own partners because that's who he is. Not was. That's who he is at his core. He is one of the worst people ever, according to everyone I've talked to that have had any interaction with Dan Snyder. He was l'enfant terrible in every way and every shape, business-wise, personally, you name it. So to see him finally go was a great and joyous relief. However, the wreckage, once the euphoria of that day, it was July 20th, 2023, and I remember listening to Grant and Danny and others, big celebratory shows.
I had just started working here when that happened, so I like to remind everyone that all the fortune since then is because of my hiring.
Okay. You want to take credit, Metal Chris. That's fine. Either way, it was a great day. I was super happy. I'm like, finally, this asshat has been run out of town and run out of the league. And by the way, a lot of people are like, well, it still sucks that he got the team for $900 million and he made $6 billion. And I say, don't worry about that. He's just another asshole in the world with a big yacht and no importance. He would have stayed to the end. Remember how at the very last bit of his regime, he tried to make these moves and he was like, I'm not going to sell. They're going to force me out. And the leaks of the quotes were coming out and everything. I mean, it was crazy. It was also crazy the Brian Davis bid to buy the team with his completely fraudulent investor guy and the $500 billion lawsuit he waged against Bank of America for shooting him down for about a month before dropping it. What a clown show that was. But here's the thing. Snyder is gone. The new ownership group, I really like from afar, not having met any of them, not having dealt with any of them, just from afar. I think Harris is almost the perfect type of owner you would want. He is hands-off enough to let the football people football, but still passionate. He's not an absentee owner, so he wants the team to be good. He's local at heart, so that's good. And so I think you've got now with the Commanders the best possible ownership, and that's a welcome thing. That is great. The name, though. The name, and the logo is very, very tough for a lot of us, people of my age, 57 years old, with still so many collectible Redskins abilia and tchotchkes and helmets and posters and the logo and everything else. And I know that the logo itself has been making a bit of a rally legally, and I could see a path perhaps back to the logo. I don't see a path back for the name, and I don't think the owners want that fight. Even as the political tides and the politically correct tides have gone back out to sea to a large extent, I just don't see it. But it's a tough deal because for those that would argue with me at the time when the name fight was in its peak and I was still on the air day to day, they would say, it's just a name. What does it matter? I go, everything. It matters to everything. Imagine if you're a Chicago Bear fan and they change their name to the Chicago Steamroller. You would hate it. And they got rid of the iconic C. Well, there's nothing racist about that. I know, but that's not the point. The point is there was nothing racist about Redskins and the logo for the longest of times. And even polling showed that those who should have been offended were not offended. So if you lose the name and the logo of your team, you lose such a huge chunk of it because sports is a proxy for tribalism, which is what ran the globe and civilization for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years prior to the rise of the nation state. We were tribes. We had our colors. We had our traditions. We had our logos. We had our things. We had our heroes. We had our great battles that we talked about. And you could say, well, that still exists. But every time I see Daryl Green come out to some function or come out to a game and he's wearing Commander stuff, it still does not sit right with me. And I know that I'm not alone in this. This is going to be something I personally have to work through myself regarding the name change. I would say this. I think if you can sit tight for 30 years, if it's still Commanders and it's still the taco holder W, which is what I call it, if you can sit tight for 30 years, it'll be fine. It's going to take like 20, 30 years for it to feel normal because in a way it's like an expansion franchise. The problem for me is I don't have 30 years, I'm going to be honest with you. I'll be 87 years old at the time. Like, what good will that do me? So I love the new ownership group. I think it's the best possible landing spot for the team. I love the fact they've gotten the path cleared for this new stadium, which still final design, not yet set. I know there's still some hope that natural grass with worms in it will be able to be installed and somehow maintained. I don't know about that. I do believe that it should be enclosed. I don't believe in these open-air stadiums. These retractable roofs for these NFL stadiums, take note, they rarely get opened. Like, they're not open very much. Indy doesn't open theirs very much. Dallas can open theirs in theory, but they stopped opening it after, I forget, some mishap with some panels a few years ago that came crashing down.
I think it was like a concert, and then they played a game a couple days later, and there's some sort of issue of the transition or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you know, Metal Chris, that Atlanta's new place, it actually has a roof that can open?
No, I didn't.
It's tiny. It's like a sphincter. it's seriously, it's a little hole in the top, and they're like, well, we could open this little butthole at the top of the stadium. I don't think they ever open it. You're going to spend whatever they're going to spend, a couple billion dollars, whatever the price tag is, just add 20, 30% to that when it's all said
and done.
In theory,
you can strategically aim the sun at your opponent's sideline, and then if you're on that side, you switch at halftime or whatever, you know, you could.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much people are actually going to do that. Yeah. But
if you're going to spend this much money in this day and age for a building, just put a roof on it, make it as nice as possible, let a lot of light in, which I think they're going to do. I've been to Minnesota's stadium. It's gorgeous, and it's glorious to know you can go to a game and not worry about being layered up nine ways to Sunday and worried about frostbite. Oh, but that's the tradition of football. Let me tell you, at a certain age, the tradition and the nostalgia and the old school football, tough the way it should be. Look, I spent a lot of days at Lambeau Field, a lot of nights at Lambeau Field, freezing. And I'm like, yeah, okay, this is traditional, but wouldn't mind being indoors right now. So I'm super happy the stadium deal got done. And of course, that came down to the last minute, just like the baseball stadium right over there did, came down to the last minute. And the usual politician trickery tried to come in at the last minute.
Would not have happened under Snyder, though. There's no way the mayor was going to work with him.
Exactly. Snyder had to go for it, but they got it done. They're tearing down the old gray lady as we speak. It's, I'd say, a bit jarring, a little bit sad to my boyhood nostalgia to see chunks of RFK that gave me so much joy growing up being clawed away at by the giant machines. But this is the price of progress. So everything, and they got Jaden Daniels, who is a beautiful, beautiful player and incredibly talented. And I think he's got a great head screwed onto his shoulders. And I like Dan Quinn a lot. I think Peters is good. He's made some bad trades here early on, but nobody bats 1,000 when it comes to trades. So everything is mostly good. The name is going to be a tough one that everyone's going to have to come to their own terms with. Getting the logo back, if they could get the logo back or get the logo, you know, you start with a couple throwback games where you allow the logo back and you just don't say the word Redskins because people get all freaked out over it. Once you do that, you can claw back something. Maybe make them the Warriors. I don't know. There's so many legal levels to this because I remember when they were going through, okay, what are we going to name them? And they're like, well, so-and-so has a copyright claim or so-and-so has been using this in some arena league football setup. Arena League 5, they've got this name. The lawyers will ruin everything. And I think the lawyers really hamstrung the team in what they could name them. Commanders is meh. It is what it is. The uniforms, look, they've got 7 different versions or whatever it is. Some of them I kind of like. Others I'm like, ugh. But that's the modern uniform game in the NFL. Speaking of which, the Sunday Nighter is an all-alt uniform matchup between two iconic franchises, the Packers and the Steelers. Why? Because the Steelers wanted to use their special edition 33 Bumblebee throwbacks with a touch of the 60s thrown in, and it has a yellow helmet. The Packers were going to wear their normal road kits, but guess what? They've got yellow helmets as well. There had never been, did you know this, Metal Chris, a yellow helmet on yellow helmet game in the history of the NFL. And I think it was going to cause problems for the referees, for the spotters, for a lot of things. And so at the last minute this week, the Packers said, we're going to wear our winter warning all whites with our white-shelled helmet. And I think overall, it'll be fine. But for those that like traditional jerseys and uniforms, well, welcome to sports in 2025. 35-3 Indiana right now over UCLA. I'm keeping an eye on the North Carolina-Virginia game, and that is, it was 10-10 at the half. It is now 10-10 in the third. 7 minutes and change going as Virginia at 6-1 is in a tussle down in Chapel Hill with Belichick and the Tar Heels. Quick break on the other side. Mark Packer, former ACC Network host and Sirius XM host on the state of college sports. Don't forget, if you are listening today and wanted to rewind, hear more of the show, go to your phone and get the Odyssey app if you don't already have it. Dial into WJFK and you can listen and rewind to your heart's content and save for future consumption at your leisure. You're listening to The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, joining me now to talk some college football, he describes himself as a retired sports junkie from the ACC Network and SiriusXM. I really don't think that Mark Packer is truly retired from being a sports junkie. You're just not currently on the air. Good afternoon, Pac-Man. How you doing?
Zabe, I'm doing great. In fact, I am talking to you from the North Carolina mountains. Ooh. And there is a stream behind me right now, and if I had a fly fish rod, I'd go out there right now and start catching something. But
well,
life is
good,
man. It's beautiful in the Carolina mountains right now. It's just gorgeous.
I know you're still well tuned in to the sports world and college football, and I had to call you because I'm like, I need Pac's take on everything that's going on in an already wild season with tons of firings of big name coaches. Other coaches who are certainly destined to be fired, like Luke Fickell at Wisconsin. The money chase is out of control. You got Cinderellas like Indiana and Vanderbilt now as the darlings of college football. And I just needed your perspective on it. So let me start with this. Who do you like this year to win it all when it's all said and done? Ohio State?
Zabe, I'll tell you what. In fact, I was telling somebody this the other day. You follow this stuff long enough, you kind of figure out what's up, what's down. For the last 30 years that I've been doing this stuff, I don't think I've ever been more confused with who was supposed to be good by the end of October. I mean, if I said to you today, Ohio State's number one, I get it. They won it last year. Ryan Day's a tremendous coach. Their defense is spectacular. But they might not even be the best team in their league. If I said to you today, hey, the SEC, who I still think is the best league top to bottom, but who was the best team, I could probably give you three answers. Last week, if you said, all right, Pac, the ACC, the league that you used to cover night and day, who's the best team? The answer is Miami. And today, they still may be the best team, but they may not even make it to the ACC title game.
Right.
So It's a wide open affair. I think if you're a lukewarm college football fan, you're going to love it because it's so wide open. If you're an absolute old school lunatic, you shake your head because you really truly don't know what's going to happen here. But I mean, if you had to put gun to head, you got to take Ohio State just because of the pedigree, and they do play such great defense. I mean, I think that's a great defensive football team. So you'd lean towards Ohio State, but man, I'm not betting anything on it. I mean, this thing is wide open.
By the way, I was last Tuesday years old when I learned that NC State and Virginia, I think, have a non-conference conference matchup this year due to the uneven schedule. What percentage of the sports fan population was I in that was unaware of this weird quirk? At least 80% of the world didn't know this?
That's probably right. But, you know, it's happened before. Like North Carolina and Wake Forest had a quote-unquote non-conference matchup for the same kind of stuff. But, you know, the funny thing is Virginia is on one of these teams that Tony Elliott's having a phenomenal year. They lost that game at NC State earlier, but it does not count against them in the conference standings. So go figure. The Hoosiers ranked in the top 20. Tony Elliott having a great year. Who knows what happens with NC State coming down the road? That could be another coach you might want to put on the hot seat list. But yeah, it's just bizarro. But really, college sports, Zabe, I don't even recognize it anymore. And I know I retired a couple months ago, but it's really one of the reasons I did that because it just doesn't look like it used to. You know, what I grew up with feels like a million years ago, and where this thing's going to go is going to be fascinating too. We're not done with changes. I mean, this is just par for the course with what we're going to see here for, I think, the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, not only – you're totally right about that. And just 2 days ago in college basketball, as the first wave of college basketball pressers came out, Kelvin Sampson at Houston, Tom Izzo at Michigan State, Bill Self at Kansas, one after another, blasting the state of things, saying, what are we doing here? Including the fact that there is a G League player that's played multiple years professionally that Louisville just picked up.
Yeah, well, listen, Pat Kelsey is getting the job done at Louisville, and to his credit, must have found a loophole, and there's a ton of them when it comes to the NCAA rules and regulations. But, yeah, what are we doing? I mean, it's just, you know, it's one of those kind of things, too. Even if you're a fan, you know, you could love Team X, and maybe your best player overnight says, hey, something's wrong, I'm out of here, and now he's going to go play for your arch rival tomorrow. I mean, so we're living in a different universe versus anything that we all grew up with. But it is what it is. And, you know, I get asked all the time, how do you fix it? I'm not sure you do fix it. I think this is now the new norm. It's not a matter of, hey, can you put the genie back in the bottle? We don't even know where the bottle is anymore. So it is what it is. Yeah. It's entertainment. And listen, if you don't like it, if it's not your cup of tea, go find something else to watch or listen to. So, but it is what it is, and it's going to be wide open, and it's going to be crazy and completely unpredictable.
Mark Packer, formerly SiriusXM, ACC Network, joining us here. Are Indiana and Vandy just right players, right time, nice story, or are they building something at each place, as improbable as that seems, that can be sustained?
Well, maybe it's all the above, not to, you know, skirt the issue with your question. It's certainly right place, right time. I mean, the coaches, both of them, have done phenomenal jobs. Signetti, and congratulations on his new gig. And Clark Lee, again, had great reputation at Notre Dame as a defensive mind, went to his alma mater. People thought he was crazy. There was talk about, hey, we're going to try to win a national title. And you're like, what are they talking about? You know, you get the right guy, quarterback, and Pavia, who's fantastic, and he's a baller.
Mm-hmm.
They're well coached. You know, they're old. They got a bunch of experience. They know what they're doing. So right place, right time for sure. Is it sustainable? I don't know. Because, you know, where's the line drawn, Steve? I mean, I think it's going to change again in the next 3 or 4 years when we have the next round of conversations with television packages and what the SEC and the Big Ten are actually going to look like in 2030. That's going to be different. The money's going to be different. So, you know, this, it's so much has changed even since COVID in the last 5 years. What makes you think it's going to be status quo for another 5 years? It won't. I mean, we're living in the most transitional period in the history of college athletics. 100 years from now, when we're long gone, they will look back to this era, this 10-year stretch, and go, look how different college athletics turned into. So to answer your question, I think if you're an Indiana or Vanderbilt fan, you love what you're seeing. Does it last? I mean, what does last? I would say probably not.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you find the right billionaire owner that happens to be a college football or basketball junkie, and he wants to put a ton of money into it, the way the rules are written, hey, you can go win. You can go get players. And if you get the right coach and the right scheme, beautiful stuff can happen. That's exactly what's happening in Nashville and Bloomington.
Like anybody, I make predictions and they turn out to be horribly wrong. One of my predictions was, you know, the way this money thing is going, the likes of Stanford and Vanderbilt will eventually cry uncle and say, we don't want to try to compete with the Ohio States and Alabamas. Well, what did Stanford and Vandy do just last week?
Yeah.
They knocked off power teams. So that prediction is wrong at the very moment and may stay wrong.
But you know what, Steve? You know, Stanford's a perfect example. I mean, you know, they had a great run with David Shaw and Harbaugh where they had kind of figured it out.
Yeah.
And then the game changes, right?
Right.
But then they find some booster who says, hey, listen, I'm going to give you $50 million and none of it's going to go to office space. It's all going to go to players.
Who was that?
Well, there's some guy that played for Stanford in the 1960s.
Oh, okay.
$50 million laying around like you and I do and go, hey, let's go give it back to the old university. And so, you know, would it surprise you, given all the advantages that Stanford has from an academic standpoint and what they can throw out there from an NIL standpoint in terms of, hey, your future, and all of a sudden they got $50 million to play with to go get players? They've won there before, and why? It's not a crazy thought to think that Stanford 5 years from now might be that next team that we're talking about, like Indiana and Vanderbilt. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
That is crazy. Would you, as a university president, invite private equity, whatever that means, into the door to college athletics?
No, I would not, because I think this thing's getting ready to change again. And I think by the year 2030, we're going to finally have a list of 40 to 50 schools that are really in the football business. And I think those 40 or 50 schools, whether they're in the SEC or the Big Ten or whatever we're going to call conferences 5 years from now, those schools are going to be involved in such humongous television deals that I don't think private equity is the route to go. Now, it may be for the smaller school, but I don't know what happens to the folks that are not one of the 40 or 50 teams. Maybe there's a whole new division that's created in which college football, as we grew up with, it becomes, hey, these guys actually go to class. We care about graduation rates and education. Oh, by the way, we play on Saturdays. Tickets aren't going to be $150. They're going to be $30. So I think the world's going to change. So I would say no to private equity if I was the president.
I would be very, very wary. It feels like selling your soul to a bunch of sharks, and you don't know. Once you let them in the door, good luck. Who knows what they're going to say next?
Right. They're not going to give you hundreds of millions of dollars just so they got a good seat. No, they're getting something in return. So I would bypass on the private equity in the short term until I see what this thing is going to look like 5 years down the road.
All that said, with all the changes, the money, the nonsense, the mayhem, the kids and the spectacle and just the grandeur of college football and the scope of it remains as vibrant as ever. All you have to do is watch College Game Day on ESPN to see it. The kids are still into it. There is still something special about college football despite all of this. What is that secret sauce to you after all the years that you followed it and covered it?
It is different than Sundays, even though college football is turning into a lousy version of the NFL. There's still something about, hey, that's my school. You know, those are my memories. Those are my buds. That does feel different than a NFL Sunday. That always will be the case, even as goofy as all this stuff has turned into. So I think that's what separates it, Sabe. I think it's still your school. And, you know, you see it every day, whether it be, like you mentioned, College Game Day or Big Noon Kickoff or whatever the case may be. There's still something magical about a Saturday afternoon or a primetime game under the lights and hearing the band and being on campus and all that great stuff. And whether you're a student or going back for the memories of when you were a student, there's something cool about Saturdays in the college football. There really is.
Yeah, the tradition, the quad, the uniforms, the alumni, the band, the stadium, the traditions, waking up hungover, getting some breakfast. All that stuff is going to keep college football as unique and wonderful as it always is.
Yep, no doubt.
Yeah. All right, real quick, I got to put the quarter in the jukebox on this. You are a Clemson Tiger. Went to Clemson way back in the day. I am very pro Dabo, but it looks like he's going to have to really figure out, does he have the heart for the new NIL era? Because I don't know if the whole I'm going to recruit him and coach him up plan is going to work.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, Dabo's a friend. This was a very important year for Dabo and his philosophy because this was the year with everybody coming back that he could say, hey, listen, you know what? I've been doing it my way. We graduate more. Our percentage of graduation is higher than everybody else. Our kids stay here. We don't see a whole lot of movement in terms of a roster and so forth. This was supposed to be the breakthrough year. And quite frankly, maybe the worst year he's ever had. I think there's going to be some very, very tough decisions he's going to have to make. And from a philosophy standpoint, he's going to have to embrace the new. He doesn't have to go crazy with it, but he's going to have to embrace it. And so it's going to be a fascinating watch to see what happens with Clemson and Dabo for 2026 and beyond. And by the way, they open the 26th season at Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge. So good luck with that.
Oh, my God. Okay, it's a coming. Okay, shh, did you hear that? I think I heard a trout calling your name. Better go out there and go get him. Pac-Man, as always, thanks for your time, my friend. We'll talk again.
Zabe, you got it, man. Take care of yourself. Be good.
College football scoreboard update. Oklahoma right now in a dogfight with Ole Miss. Great game in the SEC. Ole Miss leading 25-30 with 4 and change left in the third quarter. Georgia Tech comfortably out over Syracuse 33-10. Indiana lay in the wood to UCLA 49-3 now as they're approaching the end of three there. 18th-ranked South Florida up by a touchdown over Memphis 24-17. And that Virginia-North Carolina game, which I just found, Metal Chris, the ACC network here on the TV in the studio, still 10-10 as we head into the fourth quarter. There's about 12 minutes and change to go. There you go on that. Quick break, couple calls on the other side. We'll wrap up our portion of the day. Doc Walker coming your way at 3 o'clock. You're listening to The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're running out of time here. But had a good time this afternoon. Zabe sitting in on a sports Saturday. Doc Walker coming up after me. Couple callers been very, very patient, and I appreciate that. Let's reward Ernie in Harrisonburg first with this. Take next. There we go. Ernie, good afternoon, my friend. Thank you for being patient. How are you?
Good. Hello, Steed. Zabin.
Yes.
How are you?
The alternate nickname of Steed. Inside joke from way back. I won't explain it.
Oh, I know. Well, in the tradition of the master of metaphors, you, let me just say that hearing you is like, you know how you have one of your old friends that you I don't know, some stupid fallout, maybe political, and you lose touch, and 5-6 years later goes by, and then all of a sudden on a sunny afternoon, you get a phone call out of nowhere. Brother, that's you, having you on the radio right now. So good to have you back.
Well, thank you.
But my next question is, do you plan on bringing back You Are Looking Live?
Well, I'm just filling in where I'm needed. So these are spot starts out of the bullpen, couple Saturdays. I'll fill in, scheduled to fill in for, I believe, B. Mitch and JP when they're out in the coming weeks. Maybe some as the holidays come along. So I don't know if I bring it back on the regular. You know that segment with Scott and Solly lives on my podcast on Fridays. You Are Looking Live.
Oh.
And it's spectacular. So search for Zabecast wherever you get your podcast, and you'll have it there. But, yes, we run through the games every week, and it's a lot of fun.
So it has forever changed. Yeah. It has forever changed my how I call John U. Hussey, the referee, John Hussey.
John Ulysses Hussey. Not real name of Ulysses, but we figured, well, Hussey. Got to call him U. Hussey. His middle name must be Ulysses. All right, let's take Paulie. You are next up. Hello, Paulie. How are you today?
You are listening live.
My brother,
to the WZ, my guy, back on the airwaves, man. Listen, so you forever change how you, Uncle Scotty, and Solly, forever change how I said, Buffalo!
Buffalo, what got on a Buffalo?
Hey, man, the last time I talked to you was 2020 on a Saturday, and I had to assure you, I said, Zay, I live in the Norfolk area. I've been to plenty of ODU games. Taylor Heineke, he's a gamer, he's limited, but he has heart. and he's going to give us a chance in this playoff game against Tampa Bay. Because you said you knew nothing of him.
Were you right? And you know what? I was dismissive of you, Paulie, and I should not have been because you had him nailed. The Taylor Heinicke era, brief as it was one of the funnest things because he was so improbable as a player, and yet he maximized his talent. I mean,
and his little pop gun arm, but yeah,
exactly. But boy, he gave Brady and the Bucks all they could want that day, and him diving for the pylon, which has been immortalized in a t-shirt that I have myself. It's a classic. You can never take that away. Thank you for the call, Paulie, and I appreciate you hanging on. One more segment to go. We'll wrap up the show right after this. We got breaking news on a Saturday. The Ravens have relisted Lamar Jackson, a pretty important player, as a limited participant in practices earlier this week. He had been listed as a full participant. And now they're like, whoops, never mind. Pro Football Talk just said, a couple days after the NBA gambling bombshell hit, the Ravens just said, we'll raise your ante. I don't think it's necessarily that big, but you can't be having this. The reason they have injury reports, the reason they make teams use them is to try to dissuade gamblers from paying guys. Equipment managers, doctors, trainers, insiders, office people, you name it, from being insiders to say, yeah, he wasn't practicing. You might want to know that information prior to the game. There's supposed to be full transparency. How do you list somebody as a full participant and then go, well, we'd call it more like limited? Well, which one is it? All right. A lot of texts have come in today, a lot of tweets, I should say. Not texts, but let me run through a couple of them. You guys have been very kind to me today. When you could have been mean, you could have said a lot of mean things about, oh, look who's coming back, tail between his legs. Thank you to the incomparable CJ. Me and my truck here and my guy Zay back on local radio, and he includes the Michael Scott from The Office tearing up GIF. Thank you. Bob Bermpaul says, hey, Zabe, don't forget to mention Michael Brennan leading in Utah. Great to hear you back on WJFK. Yes, Michael Brennan, pride of Leesburg, Virginia, and by way of Wake Forest, outstanding young up-and-coming pro golfer, just got his Korn Ferry Tour status by winning a bunch of tournaments on the PGA of America's Tour and is leading, or at least it was leading last night after two rounds of the PGA Tour event in Utah. Now, granted, it's an off-season event. It's a fall event in which, you know, there's not as many of the top players out there. But, yeah, go Michael Brennan. That's wonderful to see. This one, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome home, Zabe. Great to hear your voice. Thank you. Joe Pino says, great to have you back on the air. Are you going to celebrate your return by picking up a new Brinkman grill? No, I'm not. Shruley says, so glad to have you back on the radio. I'm a Redskin fan living in Wisconsin. Loved hearing you on the other stations. Great opening today. Too bad you can't have Butchie on for a flyby. Best of luck. Thank you. Oh, and now he's been ruled out. Oh, well, there you go. Bet accordingly. Call Terry Rozier. Call Chauncey Billups.
That was in your ears. I'm just going to let everyone know. Lamar has been ruled out.
Okay, yes. Sorry. I can't tell what's in my ear or what's in okay. Not in my ear. Okay. Thank you very much for that. 10-10 still between Carolina and UVA. We're under the 4-minute mark in the fourth quarter down in Chapel Bill. Carolina has the ball at midfield. All right, it's been a blast. Metal Chris, you've been great. Thank you. If I don't see you next weekend, don't take it personally, and I won't either. Thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy your beautiful fall Saturday, and we'll see you next Saturday, noon to 3.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.